Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5 this morning. And it is good to be here. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? Amen? Amen. And rather be here than a hospital. Rather be here than a jail. Amen. And so God is good to let us gather together in His presence to dig into His Word. And amen. Aren't you glad that we have the Word of God? Amen. And church, don't take it for granted. There's a lot of places that don't have it. There's a lot of countries that don't have it. There's a lot of people in the world that don't have a single page of what you hold in your hand. Don't take it for granted. I hope you love this book. I hope you cherish this book. I hope you read this book. It's God's Word. It's God's love letter to us. Amen. And we're going to be in Mark chapter number 5. Are you there this morning? We are going to start in verse number 22. And if you're physically able, would you please stand with me as we read God's Word? Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray now that as we open your word to get some truths out of it, Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me and fill the listener with your power, with your spirit. Lord, that we would leave this place changed. I pray that if there be any here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that don't, if they don't know for sure if they died today that they'd go to heaven, Lord, that they'd get that settled today. Lord, I pray that they wouldn't leave here without having that assurance, that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Lord, I pray that you just please, Lord, work in hearts as only you can, and we'll love you and thank you for it. Thank you for loving us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach a message entitled, There's a Cure for Your Condition. There's a cure for your condition. Here at this, in this time of our lives, here in this time period, we're looking for cures for everything, aren't we? We're looking for a cure. The biggest thing right now is a cure for COVID, amen? And we're looking for a cure for that. We're looking for a cure for cancer. We're looking for a cure for dementia. We're looking for cures. What is the cure to this? And what is the cure to that? Is the vaccine the cure to COVID? I don't know, but we're looking out at everything. This lady, God's hearing this story. There's this man that has a daughter that's sick, and he's beseeching Jesus, "Hey, come and heal my daughter. She's sick unto death." And in the middle of the story, the Bible kind of interrupts that story to put in a story of about a woman. And this woman had an issue of blood. She had this disease, and she needed to be healed, and she was looking for cures. She went to all the physicians, and isn't that what we do? We look at all the doctors, and we look at all the physicians, and we look at everything, okay, where everything that the world has to offer, and then as a last resort, we, okay, Lord, how about we turn that around? How about we look to the Lord first? My wife, I'm not against doctors. Please don't misunderstand me. I think doctors are a great thing, but I think you should seek counsel from the Lord first. I think you should. God is still the great physician. He's still the one that can. He performed miracles back in the day. He can still perform miracles today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why can't we go to Him to say, Lord, I've got an issue. I've got a disease. I might have some physical illness, but Lord, I want You to heal me. God, I want You to get the glory from it. And maybe it is the way to get that taken care of is to go to the doctor. Amen? I'm not against them, but I think we need to put the Lord first. She had spent all she had. And it says, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Her condition. I want you to notice, first thing, I want you to notice her condition. Look at verse number 25. It says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years. Now, I want you to notice that, because that's important. Her condition. She had an issue of blood. Go back with me to Leviticus. Go back to me to Leviticus chapter number 15. All the way back to the beginning of your Bibles, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 15 in verse number 25. The Bible says, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it be run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of her issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be unclean until the even. She had an issue of blood. She was unclean. She was supposed to be separated. Notice where she was at. There was a multitude thronging Jesus. You know what that means? You're going to represent Jesus, okay? Thronging is there. I mean, they were right next to Him. Remember the disciples said, Lord, Thou seest the multitude thronging Thee, and Thou sayest, who touched Me? So He had a lot of people touching Him. He had a lot of people right there up against Him. This woman had an issue of blood. She was supposed to be separated from the multitude. Anything that she touched was unclean. Yet she wanted to get to Jesus. So do you think that she touched people getting to Jesus? I think she did. I think she had to. That kind of means that they were all unclean. She had an issue of blood. She wasn't where she was supposed to be. She had a condition. Friend, we have the same condition. We have the same issue of blood. As sinners, as human beings, we cannot get to heaven. We have the same condition. She was unclean. We are unclean. We have that same issue. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Flesh and blood, we cannot get to heaven. No matter what we do, no matter how much we work at it, no matter how many times you attend this church service, you cannot get to heaven on your own. We have a blood problem. We have a heart problem. That problem's a sin problem. There's none of us that's perfect. There's none of us that's righteous. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse number 10, says there is none righteous. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every single one of us. I'm a sinner. Preacher's a sinner. My wife's a sinner. My 3-year-old boy back there in the nursery is a sinner. We are all sinners. There is none righteous. There is none of us that can get to heaven on our own. We have a problem. It's a sin problem. Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man," that was Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For as by one man's disobedience," Romans 5:19, "for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Galatians 3:22, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." We are all sinners. We all are unclean. We all have the same issue of blood that she had. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. We cannot get to heaven on anything that we do. Baptism can't save you. Church membership, we just learned, can't save you. Church membership comes after salvation. Good works, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If we could get to heaven based on what we do, why would Christ have to die? If we could get to heaven doing good things or being baptized or going to church, why would God have to send His Son? Why would God have to send His Son to a God that dwells outside of the realm of time? A God that inhabits eternity. Why would He have to send His Son to be born of a virgin? To live a life, a perfect, sinless life, because He was 100% man, but He was 100% God. Why would He have to send Him to die a sinner's death if we could get to heaven on our own? We can't do it. We can't do it. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." We have a problem. It's a sin problem. It's a heart problem. And we've got to come to the place where we realize, hey, this is our condition. She understood her condition. Hey, I've got an issue of blood. I've tried everything that I can do and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Friend, if you try everything that you can do on this side of heaven to get to heaven outside of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to do everything that you can do. You're going to spend all that you can spend, and you're going to live your entire life nothing bettered. And if you slip off into eternity, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. Because there's a punishment. There's a punishment for our condition. We understand we've sinned against an almighty God. I haven't sinned against Pastor. I haven't sinned against you. I've sinned against an almighty God. And because God is God is a loving God. There's no question. But because God is a loving God, and because God's a just God, and He's a perfect God, and He's a righteous God, there's a punishment for that, sin. There's a punishment for me going against what God said. Just as my 3-year-old boy, he goes against me, that's disobedience. That disobedience has to be dealt with. If that's what I do to be a good father to my son, how much more so? God. There's a punishment. There's a payment. That payment is in a place called hell. In Matthew 25 and verse 41, it says, "Then shall He say unto also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation 20:14-15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Turn over to Luke chapter number 16 with me. Luke chapter number 16. I want you to see it in your Bibles. Luke chapter number 16. In verse number 19, the Bible says, and there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Now, this isn't a parable. This is a real account. This was an actual account. This isn't just a story. This is what happened. Says, and there was a certain beggar, verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Hell is a real place. Hell is not some fairy tale. Hell is not I've heard preachers preach that it's just separation from God. No, it's much worse. I believe separation, absolutely. Just as that lady was to be separated from the crowd, and our sin demands that we are separated from God. That's our penalty. That's our payment. But that separation is in a place called hell, where there is fire, where there is brimstone. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It is a place of torment. It is not some place where you're going to go and meet all your buddies and have a party. It's a place of torment. And this rich man, he said, hey, send Lazarus, please, that he would dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He said, please. He didn't ask to get out. He knew that's what he deserved. And that's exactly what we deserve. That's the exact payment that we deserve, the penalty for our sin, to sin against an almighty God, to sin against a holy God, to sin against a perfect God. That is the punishment that we deserve. It's a real place. The rich man said then in verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He says, hey, send Lazarus, please, to tell my brethren. I don't want them to end up in this place. I don't want them here in this place of torment. Send Lazarus so he can tell, that he can tell them. Hell's a real place. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. And God doesn't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want to send you to pay a payment in hell forever, for eternity. God doesn't want that. You say, well, how do you know? I'm glad you asked. You and Mark chapter number, go back to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. I want you to notice here in verse 28. Verse 27. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. There's a cure for our condition, and that cure is Jesus Christ. Amen. That cure, we've got a blood condition, we've got a sin condition, and because of that condition, we deserve a payment. And that payment's in a place called hell. But God loved us. God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. He sent his son, his precious son, his son named Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sin. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8 and 9 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Romans 3, 24 and 25 says, but justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Ephesians 1, 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2, 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth us from all sin. He's the cure. He's the answer. We have a condition, and Christ is the cure. Amen. It's only through his precious blood. It's only through his precious blood that we have the remission of sin. It's only through his precious blood that we can say, God, I need you, and I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but I'm trusting in the precious gift of salvation through your son, through his blood that he shed. He loved us so much, he died for us. He doesn't want us to pay the payment. And how foolish would it be for us to pay that payment? A payment that's already been paid. A payment that's already been settled. Imagine if you bought a car, someone paid for it for you, and you drove it around and you said, man, I really like this car. I'm going to take it back to the dealership and pay for it again. That's foolish. Nobody's going to do that. But why is it that we do that with an everlasting soul that's inside of us? Christ has already paid the payment. So you don't have to. So don't sit there and think, well, I'm not going to accept Christ as my Savior. I think I'm better off without him. How foolish. Don't be a fool, if I can say that. Christ already paid that payment. So you don't have to. Go over to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. And verse number 22, the Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. And in chapter 13, in verse number 12, the Bible says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He shed his blood for us. He's the cure for us. He's the only way that we can be cured of our condition. I want you to notice in Mark chapter number 5, turn back there if you're not there, Mark chapter number 5 and verse 29, it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. It says, and straightway, when Jesus Christ saves you, you know it immediately. You know it immediately. The moment that you put your faith and trust in him, it's a burden lifted off. There's a peace of God that passeth all understanding. And immediately, the fountain of her blood dried up. There, immediately, she was cured. 100%. Because God doesn't just do things halfway. When He does them perfect. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's immediate. It is so fast. And you know it. She felt in her body that her plague was dried up. I remember the time when I knelt and I asked Christ to save me, and I got off my knees and I knew 100% for sure I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven without a shadow of a doubt. Do you know that? Do you know that? I want you to notice one more thing. If we're going to get to the cure for our sinful condition, if we're going to get to the, because of our condition, we know we need a cure. If we're going to get there, there's one thing we've got to do. Look in verse number 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. In verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. She had to get through the crowd. To get to the cure, she had to get through the crowd. I guarantee you, I can't say that. I'm willing to say that I believe that there were probably some people in that crowd that knew her. I believe there might have been some physicians there that have took money from her to try to give her answers. There might have been friends of her or of hers or family members that were there to see Jesus. There might have been someone that knew her. That knew her condition, that knew that, hey, she is not where she's supposed to be. She's supposed to be separated. She's unclean. But she had to come to the place where, man, I just want a cure. I just want to be healed, no matter what people think. No matter the crowd. She had to be willing to say, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I want to be healed, no matter the cost. No matter the circumstance, this is more important than what people may think. Satan will always deceive you. Satan will always, the biggest lie Satan will put in your mind is, what are people going to think? What are people going to think? It doesn't matter. You're going to go to hell if you die without Christ and you're worried about what people are going to think. My preacher said, I'm not going to go to hell for anybody. No matter the crowd. And the truth of the matter is, it's Satan's lie. Because people in this building, in this crowd, are going to be thrilled, are going to be joyful, are going to be excited that you ask Christ to be your Savior. You shouldn't have to worry about what people think. You got to get through the crowd to get the cure, regardless of what people thought. Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. Romans. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ paid the payment. He's the cure. All we have to do is receive him. In Romans chapter number 10, turn over there just a few pages over, Romans chapter number 10. Verse number 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise that God gives us. If we go to him, to ask him, He can save us. But we've got to be the ones to ask. We've got to be the ones to call upon Him. We've got to be the ones to put our faith and trust in Him and in what He's done. He's the cure. He's the cure for our sinful condition. But we can't worry what the crowd thinks. We can't be concerned about what people might think. We've got to come to the point where this is what I need to do. I just need to ask. Ask Him. He'll save you.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.